Is bicycling hard? Or a little story about how I got back on the bicycle. In my teenage days, I've noticed a strange and mysterious little path running along the I-275 highway in Michigan. It is so small compared to the highway that to this day it looks silly. I didn't think much about the path because I didn't know what it was for. So I set off on a great many Michigan adventures. And one time, upon my return from camping at the Little Nordhaus Dunes Wilderness, I just started missing nature and adventure, and I couldn't go back to Nordhaus because I camped there for some 60 days or something like that, and the raccoons almost elected me as their leader and protector. So I remembered an ancient bicycle that came from some garage sale and looked really expensive. A sticker proudly announced it to be made from pure aluminium. Well then, I got on it. I threw a loaf of bread in my backpack and bushwhacked my way to that little path by the highway. Days before, I was jogging in the area and figured I might as well try to shuffle on that little road. That's when my foot sank in a foot of mud, and I had to hop to that little trail to dry my socks. And while my socks were drying, I did some detective work on my phone, and it turned out that the silly little path is called the I-275 Bicycle Trail. So now that I had a bicycle, it made sense to bicycle on it. Hours later, I made it to some distant park, some 20, maybe 30 miles away. And my pedal started squeaking really badly. Then I lost pressure in my tire from a little wire that pierced through it, and had to walk home like 3 miles. I was lucky to get a flat just 5 miles away from my home. I had to abandon the bicycle in a nearby rest area because after dragging it for 2 miles, the inner tube came out and I had no idea what to do. I didn't know how to fix anything. I had no tools, nothing to repair the tire with, and I didn't even know where to begin. I drove to the rest area, got my bicycle, got a tire repair kit from a supermarket, and simply begun by following the instructions that came on the little piece of paper. Next, I took my awesome bicycle to a bicycle repair shop to figure out the squeaking problem and why the pedals were wobbly all of a sudden. The professional that was there said that he can only replace the pedal assembly, that there was nothing there that he could repair. But there was something weird about his behavior, a hint of disdain. And I asked, "Is this like a cheap bicycle?" "Yes," he almost yelled out. It seemed that he's been holding it in for a little too long. The repairs would cost as much as a new bicycle, and what I had was the cheapest kind of bicycle, and it was way too small for me even. I didn't know. I loved it anyway. I still like it a lot. I started riding a mountain bike after that, and it was much larger. It was way longer. But it turned out to have too many very interesting moving parts. It actually had disc brakes, but they never quite worked. Things were always a little off. It is still a very good bicycle, and still around, and is still being used. But I started riding a $135 fat tire bike from a nearby supermarket. It has only one gear, and you trigger the brakes by moving the pedals back a little bit. It is really hard to lose balance because those tires are heavy, and they really want to turn and just go forward. Fat tire bikes almost ride themselves. Despite the stability, I did end up falling from my fat tire bicycle. I'm a natural-born sea captain. Commanding old-timey tall ships is in my blood. So when I ride a bicycle, I use terms port side and starboard instead of saying left and right like a normal person. And actually notifying the person ahead of time that I'm about to pass them on the left. Because I am drunk from the power that the command of my bicycle bestows upon me, I often even use the terms interchangeably. But I'm not proud of that. Knowing that people don't know what the hell I'm saying anyways, I prefer to use the word starboard, even when I'm passing on the left. It is such a pretty word. And I developed a habit on placing all my weight on my right pedal, and actually standing on my bicycle like a proper captain. Well, I went into a fast food restaurant by a gas station for an ice frappé, and on my way out, I either stepped into a cleaning solution or some car oil in the parking lot. Not a minute later, with all my weight on that one pedal, my foot simply slipped into thin air. I went from a proud captain in charge of the sea of asphalt to a stupid 280-pound bird about to kiss it. They went flying through the air at 7 miles per hour, flapping my little wings, with the bicycle now intricately interwoven between the two of my flimsy legs. I skinned my elbow like a 9-year-old boy, but quickly got up, without crying. As a side note, my other trick as a more muscular chicken nugget now is bouncing down the stairs, hitting all the freaking 12 of them, and feeling fine. Well, at least certainly awake. Stairs are actually my only fear. Just today, I replaced the pedals, now worn rubber, with aluminium ones that have screws crudely driven through them. There is zero possibility of slipping from that pedal now. But those pointy screws are way too sharp in the area where the legs generally tend to be. Previously, I replaced the seat. My bicycle trail adventures usually last a whole day, and the seat that came with the fat tire bike was just for making a few loops and presumably popping a wheelie or something. So, I went to the local supermarket again and got a seat for large and plump and luscious bottoms. Now, it feels like I'm sitting on a sofa. If you are just starting to ride your bicycle, get a big seat and don't worry if your bicycle looks a little odd. Those other smaller seats are odd. They actually require a few bruised days of getting your butt bone used to it. Just find a large comfy seat and you will never ever regret it. Remember, Whatever can go wrong will go wrong on these cheap bicycles. So you must always have a bike tire repair kit with you and as big of an air pump as you can carry. The little ones are flimsy and cheap. They may bend or come apart as you're trying to inflate your tire. And all the tools you use for poking around your bicycle must absolutely come with you as well. I bought a handlebar bag just for the tools, and that's also where I mounted my air pump, beneath the handlebars. If you can patch and inflate the tire and screw whatever came unscrewed, your bike will always bring you home. You may need a bit of grease as well, maybe a little can of that WD stuff. These two will help you with squeaky things. For the last 3 years or so, I had a dollop of moisturizing sunblock in one of my squeaky pedal handles. A tiny bit of grease really does go a long way. As to other things like weather, usually, before it rains, you find a spot to wait it all out. You could bicycle wearing a poncho, but it is best to wait rain out. Mud, however, is a different kind of problem. Your back tire will actually throw mud at your back. And your front tire, even on a sunny day, can send a little pebble at your face. So you will need mud guards. The universal flimsy ones are just fine. They just need to stop little bits of dirt and watery mud. You will need plain transparent plastic glasses to prevent bugs and dust and tree bits from flying directly into your eyes. This is really important. I never ride without eye protection. In my experience, it takes little more than 30 minutes for a stupid fly to try to die in your eye. Please, do not ride without glasses. They cost nothing and will keep your eyes perfectly safe. Oh, and you will need bug spray. But you don't need to spray yourself before the start of your adventure. Just if you need to stop to repair something, for example. I am yet to become wise enough to wear a helmet, in part because my fat tire bike is just super slow. But I totally plan to wear one, as motorists can't really see you, nor should you trust them to see you. Like, ever. So, to be safe, get some really bright blinking lights and wear a proper helmet. Please, be safe and drink plenty of water.